You believe the blood of Jesus washes you white as snow?
Amen.
Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Church, did you know that we have that good news and there's many in our world that don't have that good news? Did you know that? It's our duty to share it with them. Turn with me, if you would, to John 15. John chapter 15. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. Jesus is speaking, beginning in verse 1. I love the imagery of this. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. I want to say that again. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. I want you to listen to that again very carefully. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, so there's the condition, he will bear much fruit. Doesn't say probably will, might, sometimes. If we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does remain in me, he is like a branch. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Sometimes we misunderstand that scripture to think that Jesus is Santa Claus, that we can just ask him for anything we want and he'll just grant it. But notice the condition. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. In other words, when we are totally consumed with the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with him, then the things that come out, the requests that come from us are going to be things that please him. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If you're struggling with depression or sadness or woe is me and you're looking for joy, we've just been told how to attain joy. Do you see it, church? I have told you this, what he had just told us, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Here it comes. And appointed you to go and bear fruit. Not just any old fruit, but fruit that will last. That was the Revised Jeff version, by the way, that little segment. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We've just heard how we are to abide in you and you in us. And so we ask you to come and abide in us and fill us. Speak to us. Speak in power and authority. Show us who you are and change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't ask her permission because it's really not about her, but my daughter Kirby has a big mesquite tree. It's not about you, Kirby. You can relax. She has a big mesquite tree in the front yard, in her front yard, and it's a great big mesquite tree, one of those massive guys. And got a call from her one morning that back when, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, when the storm blew through, that was like, you know, a pretty wicked storm and lots of wind, lots of rain, and so forth. And the tree had this mesquite tree that looked really strong and really healthy because it was large and you know, all this display up above the ground had the weight of the tree, because the root system had not sunk itself deep enough into the soil, the root system gave way to the wind, and this tree fell over. And I was reminded of that as I was reading the scripture. I was beginning to prepare for today that on the outside and above ground, everything that we could see, that the human eye could see, this looked like a big, massive, mature, strong mesquite tree. But underneath the surface, it was weak. And in the very weight of itself, when the storm came, this tree fell. And it reminded me of this where Jesus says that if you're not bearing fruit, you get pruned and you get thrown into the fire. He has no use. And there's other scriptures that I could show you where Jesus, remember where he's walked by the fig tree, and the fig tree was not producing fruit. I always thought that was a pretty harsh scripture, but Jesus was trying to teach us. And he walks by the fig tree and it's not bearing fruit, and he needed some fruit. His body needed to be replenished, and he needed the energy that fruit tree should have provided, and there was no fruit on it. So he cursed the tree, and they came back by the next day and the tree was dead. And so we understand that fruitfulness is important to God. Fruitfulness is important to God. Last week we began this journey, this 3 week journey. I'm going to conclude next week on engaged disciples. And I want that word to, and we're not talking about engaged to be married. We established that last week, that we're talking about engaged, that involved in what God is doing, engaged in His ministry, engaged disciples. Last week we looked at called to fish, that we are called to fish. And Jesus, as he called the disciples, he had this invitation to them, come. It was this, come and join me. Come and I will make you fishers of men. And so there's this invitation from Christ to come and be in relationship with him. And then he calls us to fish. Today, engaged disciples, we are not only called to fish, but we are commissioned to go. Church, this is important. We are commissioned to go. It begins, if you look at the entirety of Jesus' ministry, he began his ministry by saying, come to me. So it begins there with this coming to Jesus, having relationship with him, learning him on an intimate level, and being filled with who he is. And so it comes and it starts with that invitation to come and be a part of what he is doing. But then he goes on to say, go. There are a couple of handouts in your bulletin this morning. I want to explain those. One of them is looks something like that. It's a half sheet, and it's got deploy, invite, nurture, and equip. And we're gonna talk about that today. There's another one that is what's come to be known in our church as the dine sheet. And that's, I put that in there. Don't worry too much about following that today. I put that in there for informational purposes. I'm going to speak more about the details of what we do as a church and who God has called us to be next week. But today I want to focus on these four areas that Christ has called us to go. And I want to begin, even though we have this analogy of dine. The D stands for deploy, the I stands for invite, the N stands for nurture, and the E stands for equip. Now, don't get too hung up on all of the technicalities of this. It's just a way of organization, where how we can organize our efforts to be God's people and to go. I want to start, even though the deploy is the D that begins dine, we're going to save it for last. It's really going to be ined. So if that's going to bother some of you, you know, OCD people, but that you have to get over it. So we're going to start with the I, and we're going to look at invite. God has commissioned us, and we've been commissioned by Christ himself to invite God's word. And I'm going to just kind of summarize some scriptures here that pertain to each one of these. This is go and tell, and you see it there on your handout. It says Mark 5:1-20. That is the scripture where Jesus has cast the demons out of the man, and the man is so grateful, so thankful, he wants to follow Jesus, and he wants to go with him and be with him at all times. And Jesus says to him, no, don't come with me. He says, go back and tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors what I have done for you. So when Christ moves in our life, He has commissioned us to go and tell people what he has done for us. Every one of you, if you have Christ in your life, every single one of you has a story. You have a testimony. It may not be, well, you know, I was on drugs and I found myself sleeping in the gutter and all. It may not be that kind of testimony, but every one of you has a testimony. Maybe your testimony is, you know, I don't know what it is. I've just always known God has loved me. And I've just always been interested in living my life to please him. Maybe that's your testimony. Tell people that. Because Jesus himself says to go and tell. Now, some of you that have been raised in the farming communities, I've kind of put some different analogies in here to try to help us capture this picture. It's as if the going and telling is the plowing of the ground, the preparation. Now, we're inviting people, it's not about just inviting people to our church. Do you understand that? It's about inviting people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if they don't have a church home, we would love to have them. And I hope that they will come and be a part of our fellowship. But that's not, Jesus didn't say, go and tell people about Wiley United Methodist Church. He said, go and tell them what I've done for you. And so there's this invitation into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have ways that we are trying to do that as a church. And you're going to see that more unfold over today and next week. But the committees that make up this invite quadrant of our church came up with this kind of a mission statement for what they believe that those committees should be about. And this is what they came up with: inviting people into deep relationship with Christ. So as we focus on the inviting portion of our church, and we remember that Jesus himself said, go and tell what I have done for you. And it's this invitation to have a deep relationship with Christ himself. Let's move on to nurture. Nurture in the world of planting, I mean, the world of agriculture is like planting the seed. And it's go and do likewise. Now, this comes out of Luke chapter 10. I've noted it there on your handout. Luke chapter 10. And this is right when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commands? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then they thought they would trick him, and they said, who's our neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan at this point. And he tells a story. Most of you know the story. There's a man that's been beaten by robbers, and he's on the side of the road, and he's near death, and he's bleeding, and he needs assistance. And two priests walk by on either side of the road, and they make their way around him not to be bothered with him. And finally, a Samaritan, who is the Jews' enemy, comes by and takes pity on this man and has mercy on him and begins to nurse him back to health and takes him and pays for him to be cared for and so forth. And then Jesus asks them, he puts it back in their lap, and he says, I told you this story. Who among these was the neighbor? And they said, well, the man who had mercy and kindness, showed kindness. And he said to them, go and do likewise. Do you hear that? Go. There's everything that Jesus challenged us to do, commissioned us to do, involved action, involved getting involved in his ministry. So he said, if this is the neighbor, if you see that as the truth, that how this man behaved as being a neighbor, then go do like that. Do likewise. And again, our committees for the nurture came up with a mission statement for that quadrant, loving people on behalf of Christ. And we've talked about that, we do that in so many ways that I'll spend more time on next week. We do that in so many ways in our church. But friends in Christ, it's not about feeding the hungry and building homes for the poor and helping people with financial issues. It's not just about that. Those are means to show the love of Christ. Those are ways to be Christ's ambassadors to the world. And if we don't make it known that we're loving you on behalf of Christ, then we have failed. Jesus said, "You see, I've told you this story that the Samaritan was the neighbor. Now go and do likewise." And then we're going to move over to equip. E is for equip. And Jesus said, "Go and make." This comes from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We spent a little time on that a couple of weeks ago. The Great Commission, where Jesus says, as he's finished his time on earth, and he's going to ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father and send the Holy Spirit to empower us. And the last thing he said was, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And he said that right before he said that, and I think it's actually in verse 16 and 17, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." So what he's saying is he's like, "I have the power and you have me. So go and make disciples." Do we hear that, church? When we are to go and make disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us because all authority has been given to Christ. Christ sent the Holy Spirit, so we are filled with the Holy Spirit, so therefore we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the equip committee came up with training and equipping disciples to honor Christ with their life. You know, to be a disciple we come to church to worship, and we come to church to learn and to study and to pray and to grow together as a fellowship. We come and what's really happening is we're training and equipping disciples to honor Christ with their lives. And so we come here to be equipped, and we go out to love. We go out to love. And as I said, each one of you has a story. Each one of you has a testimony. And you also have a sphere of influence. That's a hard word to say. Sphere. Say that real fast three times. You have a sphere of influence in your life that God wants you to impact people for the kingdom. You have this place of influence that I don't have. You've heard me say it before, but I'm paid to be good, and you're good for nothing. But that doesn't mean that you can't. I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. Okay, don't be offended. But just because you're not paid, you're not a paid member of the clergy, that's not the way God set it up. That the pastors are supposed to tell everybody about Christ. He didn't say to that man that he cast the demons out of. He said, "Oh, if only, I tell you what, let's send you to school for a little while and let's get you ordained and then you can go tell people what I've done for you." No. Christ had an impact on his life. And Jesus said, "Go and tell. Go and tell." That's equipping disciples to honor Christ with their life. And finally, deploy. Go and bear fruit. We just read this scripture, a portion of this scripture, and it's a powerful scripture. I read a lot today, and I hope you didn't get lost in all that, but I want to point out a couple of things. He says, in verse 8, he says, "It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." So when we bear fruit, it's not if a lot of people come to Christ through this vehicle called Wiley United Methodist Church, guess whose glory that is to? It's to Christ. It's not to ours. It's not to me. We impact people's lives. We bear fruit so that we can bring the Father glory. Showing yourself. See, it's this bringing glory to the Father by bearing much fruit that actually proves to people that Christ is real. Proves to people that Christ is not only real in our lives, but he's real out there. He's real and he's available to you. And then finally, looking down in verse 16. "I chose you," Jesus said, "and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." And again, I just said this kind of in a different way a while ago, but It's a great thing. We're involved in the food pantry, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? Those folks are going to need food next week too. And the next week. And that's you know, we eat, and it's an amazing thing. I went the other day, and I was joking around with somebody, and I said, I like this place, but it makes me lose my appetite. I can't remember what it was. But we, you know, I make that joke that because when we eat and we're satisfied, but for me, a couple hours later, I'm needing some more. I'm needing some more fuel. But Jesus said, go and bear fruit that lasts. What fruit lasts? The fruit of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Because when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's eternal. We're dealing with things of eternal nature. The deploy quadrant came up with this this mission statement: sending out disciples to engage the culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's this sending out and this engaging of the culture. And guess what? Who the culture is? It's people. Engaging the culture, engaging people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ invites us in to this. I mean, I tell you, it to me, when I really sold out to Christ, and whenever I invited Him in, and He really took over my life, it's been one heck of an adventure. Anybody relate to that? I mean, it's when you're surrendered to the King of Kings, you don't know where He's taking you, and it's exciting. It's exciting stuff. And he doesn't call you and then assign you and then abandon you. No, he fills us with His Spirit, and He walks with us, and He empowers us to be His hands and His feet, to be His ambassadors. And it's exciting. So he calls us in by saying, come, follow me. And then he sends us out by saying, go and tell what I've done for you. Go and do likewise, like the Samaritan. Go and make disciples. Go and bear much fruit, bringing me glory. Do we understand, church, that who God has called us to be? Last week I was joking around, kind of embarrassed, pained by bringing the little ticket to heaven. But that's not, you know, I want us to understand that too many times we believe that the Christian life is one of becoming saved and then just waiting for heaven. And that's not it at all. That's just a piece. That's not it at all. Jesus is saying, he didn't say, come follow me and I'll give you heaven. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then he said, go and make disciples. That's who God is calling us to be as a church. And as long as I have breath in my body, you will hear that message from me. So if you get tired of that message, you know, check with me and I'll let you know if I'm preaching it that Sunday and you can stay home. But that's going to be the constant message you get from me, is to go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us enough. You started by sending your Son, by coming engaged in our lives. And now you have asked us to become engaged in your life and engaged with your people and engaged with your kingdom. And you have commissioned us to go. And so, Father, I just pray it begins with that relationship with you. If there's any this morning, Father, that don't understand that, that don't have that relationship with you, I pray, God, that you would move in power in the Holy Spirit right now on them. Pray that you would move in power. You would let them know that you're not a God that just zaps us when we're bad. You're a God that loves us enough that you have sent your Son and you've hung on a cross for us. Lord, let us know you in that way. Let us know you in that way. And Father, if we already know you, but we have committed the sin of complacency, and as I said last week, Father, sometimes we try to fish from the couch. So Father, if that's us, convict us. Convict us this morning. Show us. I want you to put names in our mind right now, people, faces in our mind who need the love of Jesus. Now, Father, give us the conviction and the power to go and to tell our story and to love on your behalf. I'm reminded, Lord, your word says it's your kindness, Lord, that leads men to repentance. So let us be kind on your behalf. Father, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand if you're able as we close, if you would like to come and pray or have me pray for you, or if you'd like to talk about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I will be up front.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Sing, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Sing amazing love. I honor.
Tell him this morning he's your King.
Seated for just a minute. Dennis Riley, our SPRC chair, has something he wants to do.
First of all, I have to put out a couple of disclaimers. We did not coordinate our clothing. Nor did I realize he was going to pull out that Dine Ministry page with all these names on it. I had no idea that was going to happen. You people out here are called the congregation. Jeff calls it church, and rightly so. It's because sitting next to you is persons who take up the tasks that result in this day of worship and take care of this place. It takes the council, trustees, four committees of purpose, Sunday school teachers, devoted people with pertinent tasks necessary to accomplish this seemingly simple and sustained organization. It's like a corporation at the board of directors who hire a staff to carry out the operations. Church is no different. We do have a staff. Today is called Pastor Appreciation, but it's much more than that. The committee has considered consolidating our pastors. How many do we have? Shout it out. How many?
Five.
Five pastors on staff, complete with the staff that gives them support every day. Maybe we should call this day appreciation. Some may not know the extent of this group. Most of the staff I look around here, I see are off behind the stage here doing different things. With those that are present, would you come up when your name is called? Carlton Costin. Carlton is our building and grounds person. Pat Cumby, administrative assistant. I do believe she's back in the kitchen. Janice Carlin, Mother's Day Out director. Ken Collins, assistant bookkeeper. Naomi Wood, our bookkeeper. Clay Jacobs, our worship leader, behind me. Ethan Olson, intern children's ministry. You can bet he's back there at the children now. Amanda Junquist, assistant children's minister. Carlene Krim, we know she's back here in the back. Jared Fraser, don't go out, guy. Jordan Payne, back here in the drums. Billy Krim, now I happen to know Billy's out on a different mission today. He'll be here, we'll walk in during our dinner. Jeff Hatcher, our senior pastor. Let's give those that are in front of us a big hand. I think it's only befitting to say that this is not all the people. This is some of the people. You see by this list here several names. As I said, the councils, the trustees, and the committees are not mentioned in this page, but behind every name you see here is a community of support. So enjoy it, folks. Take credit for yourself. Let's go to the Lord now and ask for credit to our staff. Our Lord, give us thankful hearts for our caring staff. We know they go home each evening tired and with thoughts of another day tomorrow. May they enter this blessed place of worship daily with renewed strength. For it is they who put in order our place of worship. They stand ready to comfort and steady any person in the time of stress and disorder. Please let us understand that they too feel the need for that same relief. In all you do for us, please know that sometimes an earthly hug is needed. You gave us your words to practice and a plan to live, but the devil will not relent and makes this life a chaos. We stand as a community in this church of worship to share a burden and to know love. Here we find comfort. Our staff makes this sure. Now, let us place them before others. As we go to enjoy the nourishment you have placed with us, you gave us blessings with the hands that harvest and bring it forth. May they be blessed. Lord, we have thankful hearts For these and all our many blessings, the people say, Amen.
Thanks, Dennis. You have been commissioned by Christ Himself to go. You can start by going to lunch and then go in your life and speak Christ. Tell someone in Jesus' name.
Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love.